434-1790-266-4862. Brass Tacks at StarComNetwork.net. The Wednesday edition. Dennis Johnson, your host, until 2. Michelle Braffitt, our technical operator, producer. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Good afternoon, sir.
May I enter your classroom?
Once you're wearing your protective gear, sir, it's quite all right. You're socially distanced. Yes, sir, you can.
May I be allowed to sit and make my presentation and to be corrected in anything?
Well,
that I might say, well, sir?
I know you're a good student, so I know you know the protocol. You'll be good. What's up? Yesterday you promised to get back, but apparently you couldn't. So you have the floor today, sir. Sitting if you care to.
I knew I waited for this time to make the presentation. And last week yourself and I had a conversation that enlightened lots of people. Even I heard Mr. Leroy McLean come on as well. This morning, sir, I want to look at images of colonialism. And also address a statement made by the Prime Minister of Barbados, Mayor Amor Motley, in relation to Lord Nelson, and to establish some points of interest. Now, fortunate for me, sir, I spent when they were making the changes to Trafalgar Square, Hero Square, and Parliament Square, I had the privilege of sitting in Parliament regard to what one was there with a great team. And I made a presentation at that time on the suggestion of the Nelson. But before I get to that, I want to establish the point that there have been several changes in Parliament, and the bust of Sir Conrad Reeves now stands to the top.
Yeah, I know.
Right? Instead of that...
So it was at the bottom at first, right?
It was at the bottom, yeah.
Okay, and he went upstairs. Okay.
When you make the steps, you walk right into the bust.
Yeah,
to the right is the Senate Chambers.
And the left.
And to the left is the lower house.
Yeah.
Fortunate, Mr. Branker, George Branker, who was at least the clerk of the time, when they were upgrading the Parliament building, he made a presentation of every parliamentarian that sat in Parliament from 1639 on plaques on the left-hand side before you go into the lower chamber. The important aspect of it that fortunate for yours truly, between the period of 1999 and the period of 2003, 2004, you will see the name written in gold on a gold plaque, Mark Zed Williams for the constituency of St. Michael Northwest. I'm saying that to say this, right? Nobody is going to detract my knowledge of Bridgetown. Nobody is going to at least say that I am wrong. No. I am saying this, that at that time I said, this country is badly in need of money, finance. And to spend money on Lord Nelson would be a waste of time. To think of destroying Lord Nelson would be a waste of time. I said that there are people across the world who are collectors of various items, souvenirs. For example, like the guy who bought the London Bridge. Paid lots of money for it and take it back to his home state in New York, in Boston. And since we are badly in need of finance, let's auction Lord Nelson on the world market. I'm certain that his value on the world market would give us a couple of cluster block houses for the poor people of Barbados. So this would mean that if we can get someone on the world block, auction block, to purchase Lord Nelson and purchase Lord Nelson at the price that is expected, then the treasury of this country would have lots of money, and that money should be spent in building houses for the needy people of Barbados. Good cause, in the sense that we were not going to throw him away. All the punishment and all the sufferations we would have had all through the years as far as his visit to Barbados, then we will be selling him to some person who will respect and put him on the lawn or put him in the center of the street. I said that. Eventually, somewhere along the line, he is on the outskirts. He is on the outskirts of what can consider, I would probably say, the what they call the landmark of Barbados. My point, Mr. Johnson, at this time is that what the Prime Minister said is true. We need to have a dialogue at this time in relation to the colonial images that centers across this country, which would include the Red Lord Nelson. Now, on the West Wing of Parliament, there is a library for parliamentarians, gracefully put together by Dame Billy Miller. Lots of education is in there. Lots of education for people who want to study political history of Barbados from as far back as they want to. I'm saying at this time that, fortunate for us, you've got a whole set of history on the East Wing and on the West Wing, because she made provision for the library answered. And that's on the East Wing, bottom floor. So I'm saying that those persons who have not followed the history have a chance to follow the history on the West Wing or the East Wing of Parliament. And many Barbadians, unfortunate, don't seem to understand that there's provision there. So further to the exercise, Mr. Johnson, one of the factors of importance is that I've had the privilege, and I often ask why I was taken back. When I entered Parliament, to my surprise, when I look to the east of where we're sitting, I saw some paintings, beautiful paintings of former, what they were considered to be, British white people. So Wilberforce, all of these people. And they attracted the Parliament interior. Beautiful, beautiful. But then I'm saying that if you're going to move Lord Nelson, you have to change the minds of some of the politicians who enter the Parliament, that they will understand that when they look to the east, they should be seeing something different. So those paintings, paint glass, should go. You mentioned this morning some monuments and statues in Barbados that, truthfully speaking, needs to be looked at. For example, the monument at Land's End. Seems to have no attention whatsoever. Taxi drivers bring tourists out of the port. They drive them all around and never stop on point until.
Yeah, but look at where it is.
Yeah,
where is
it?
Way in the back of a field somewhere.
But you know how they describe that? They describe that as that is the monument that represents the people who were buried there in cholera, which is not true.
That's not what it is.
That's not true, right? That is the statue that when he sailed from the West Coast, and he was coming towards Carlisle Bay, he found himself into this little area, and he thought that this was another section. So he landed, and a statue was placed there. Unnoticed, all part of Barbados. We come to the garrison, and you spoke about the monuments of the garrison. Nothing is wrong with that. If you want to pull down the images of colonialism, we have to pull them down. On the east side of the garrison, there's a monument. It represents all those soldiers who died in the hurricane. On the west side of the garrison is another monument, representing a whole set of people that never did Barbados well. So those two will have to go. What is extremely important, that the images of colonialism must be removed for us to clean our memory. Must at least be taught so that somewhere along the line that we will understand exactly there was a history.
And I have this, let me say to you, that the question that will therefore arise is, without the knowledge, without the corresponding education, the symbols we create and erect, the monuments we build, the statues we put in place will have no bearing whatsoever on the psyche of our people, on the thinking of our people, if there is no record or no commensurate education process. Therefore, all the things we talk about, the statues here, the monuments there mentioned, the one with the flag at the garrison, one day someone will ask, what's this big piece of concrete doing here? And if nobody can say what happened at that location, it can be a blocking the view of something or the other. which is why I mentioned the arch across the bridge just across the road from us here. That arch was created out of non-permanent material for the celebration of Barbados' independence. Some person said, let's do it in a permanent structure, but is it maintained? And we blocked it, as I said, with vendors' huts, and people park four-wheel drive vehicles and other cars on or square that was created with the whole look and change of, you know, the Right Excellent Earl Walton Barrow, Independence Square, the Arch, and you got the Parliament buildings in the back. The Arc de Triomphe in France or the Eiffel Tower is not covered from public view. The Statue of Liberty in the U.S. Harbor is not blocked by, you know, unless they're fixing it. So if we build these things, so we take taxpayers' money and we build it, which is the point I'm making. And we don't maintain it. There's no sense of pride in whites there, what's doing there. How long before someone says, you know what? We're going to extend that hotel from Liquidation Center right down to Pierhead and stretch across to the other side where the heliport is. We put a third bridge there and we're going to lick down wherever anyway. And then we're going to have somebody sitting here 20 years from now asking, so why you do that and Nelson's still there?
Please, teacher.
Yes, sir.
Now, why should deal with the arch?
Yeah.
Assembled, finished in my lifetime. And I can tell you that arch, when it was built, or being built, had a casualty, very serious casualty. Young man got injured, nearly got decapitated.
He took off his head because he shouldn't have passed on the day. Yeah, I remember that. Standing on the back of a truck.
Since then, it's been drawn to my attention and awareness of that arch. There was a photograph of His Excellency, Edward Walton Barrow, in that showcase in the arch. That it fit to the very jacket. Fit as well. No attention was paid to it. It was not cleaned. It was not looked after. You're perfectly right when you say that. They must be maintained. So, that arch was built. Obviously, the arch was built, but nobody paid any attention.
You know, sir, let me tell you what is amusing. There was a celebration, a CARICOM celebration in the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago. I think it was last year. And you know that arch was recreated on the entrance to the CARICOM village in Trinidad and Tobago? The arch here in Barbados was recreated at the entrance to the CARICOM Park in Trinidad and Tobago in pristine detail, crisp and looking better than the one here in Barbados. That is why we pay attention to the things that matter or should matter to us.
You know, what is important to your class, Mr. Johnson, is that if I am wrong,
I will tell you so.
I expect to hear you said no, you're going down the wrong way.
Well, you know I will do that too. You know,
well,
I will do
my
that
position is that there are a lot of people, like the gentleman said this morning, that are not familiar with the history of Barbados. I am saying to them this morning that there are two facilities available when you go to town. That is on the east wing of Parliament. You have what can be considered as the library, where all the Hansard volumes are there from as far back. You can read on any debate that you want to read. On the west side happens to be a local museum of politicians of the time. My feeling about this is, sir, that you are right, the gentleman right. We cannot talk about moving Nelson unless we understand the history that we're going to take along with Nelson, which isn't much. But the fact remains that there was a period of time that many of us knew Bridgetown because of that statue, but we paid no attention through the years. I remember once somebody said to me, he is a strong man because all that wear lightning and thunder.
He's still standing. That's called a man of steel and iron.
Yeah. So I appeal to people is that I support the Prime Minister in the dialogue. for the removal, and that no deadline date should be given, but when it should be moved or when it should not be moved. So all those who are anticipating that they got 10,000 signatures and that it should be moved, no. Let's have a dialogue. Let's educate the people the reason why we have to move this person, what this person stood for. And the other images, colonial images of Bridgetown, and there are a lot of colonial images that we must maintain or we must take a stand alone.
All right, sir. Let me ease you from the strain of talking. It's beginning to cause your voice to deteriorate a little bit. And I know the pressure it takes to do it. Let me say to you that we've had dialogue for years. And there will continue to be those who strongly defend it. And there'll be those who strongly say, take it and move it somewhere where it doesn't offend me anymore. And who knows, there may become a day when, again, we'll go back to moving this and changing that. I always make reference to the fact that back in the 1970s, in the height of the Black Power Revolution, there were calls to take down statues too and knock them over in Trinidad, certainly in other islands of the Caribbean. Statues and churches representing various religious personages were painted black, and it hasn't changed the way we continue to view each other based on the pigmentation of our skin or the texture of our hair. Brass Dax, good afternoon. Hello. 4341790 Brass Axe, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Hi.
Linda, you can turn that down. Mr. Johnson?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay, I'm calling here from New York. I heard the ambassador this morning.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't able to get him. So my question to you, this is I have a business named Barbados. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Domestic Act. 1580 Domestic Act. I'm trying to file my taxes, my domestic return for this year. 30th is the deadline. And I can't get through. I called the corporate office 100 times and nobody can give me no information.
Have you tried emailing them?
Are you familiar with what I'm speaking of?
Have you tried emailing them?
Well, you don't have time to email. I spoke to one lady, and she said that she don't deal with that. The accountant gave me the information with the link. But my thing, I can't pay the taxes from here in New York. I always have to send them in a check. I'm usually down there at this time to pay, but I'm waiting on a flight now for next month for the 18th, if everything goes well.
If everything goes all right.
If everything goes, yeah, because a friend of mine just called me.
So you say you have no opportunity to pay online? That's what you're saying?
No. The lady at the front desk told me you can pay with e-pay. I go, you can't do anything. That's all a joke. So I'm asking, because even within the 11, I paid them $800 up to February in late fees. $800 in late fees. And if I don't file this return on time, I just send a letter to Ron Strong, the Minister, the Honorable Ron Strong, asking him for a waiver for $2,800 in late fees. Just for simple form. Section 15A, domestic annual return. So if you can have somebody speak to that, or you can find out, because you're good on this kind of thing. I listen to you every day. I spoke to Joanne yesterday. And you're very, very good. Trust me, you and David. Well, all the others are good too, but you're the exception. You are.
I will try to see if I can find out something on that for you, sir, because
I know you're going to find out
the,
something.
Because no, because you see, but sir, the whole thrust of trying to create this e-commerce platform and to make Barbados more conducive to doing business from various parts of the world is to make sure that you have these avenues open so that persons can pay and pay on time. After all, we need money. I don't think you want to pay your taxes in sweetie paper. I'm sure you want to pay it in coin of the realm, which is what people keep calling it these days. But yeah, I will try to find out what I can for you on that and why it's so difficult for you to do so. But
I just get into another lady. She said you could only file, the accountant is telling me I can file online or the Dropbox. Well, it's obviously I got to file online because I'm here. I usually send it in by FedEx, and a friend will take it there for me. Ooh. Now she's telling me you can only file it online if it's an external company.
If it's an external company.
Said, what was that? External. Yeah. So she
said
she's going to get back. Mr. Johnson is hard.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Section 15A of the domestic annual return. Mm-hmm. My name is Conley Warner. I have a letter in the office of Honor Rose right now asking for a waiver. Just for a simple form. You can't file. You can't get it on. You can't get it. And I don't think I'm coming next month because my friend just called me to be Jeff. You just canceled them. They're coming the first week of July.
Yeah, I was about to tell you that a lot of the flights depend on, let's say take up. And there's some of them that, while they may want to take your money, once they don't have enough people for the flight, it's canceled. So that may persist for a little bit. But slowly but surely, we may turn our ship around so that you can pay on time as you would like to. I'll try and track that down for you, sir. Thanks for your call. Thanks for getting through. You seem to have the knack now of reaching us from wherever you are. And certainly we look forward to hearing more from our friends in the diaspora when they can reach us. 4341-790-266-4862. You can also reach us at brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. My caller from New York got a piece of information for you. Area code 246, you know that's our area code. 535, that's 535. 2406. Give that number a call and you should have some assistance with your challenge. 535-2406. You know area code 246 since you use it regularly. And hopefully you'll be able to get some assistance to solve your little issue. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Hello. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. All right, it happens after lunch when people go and take their phones off the hook, put it on wait, and wait on the program to resume. We have resumed. You have an opportunity to call us and make your voice heard. Good afternoon.
You have called in to speak to Dennis?
This is he.
Well, Dennis Wright, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
Good. Good. All right. Called to weigh in on things, the topical matter of Nelson and the issue of Black Lives Matter. I've been thinking about the Nelson matter, and really and truly, a guy said earlier that whether he is there or not, he will be remembered. The facts are he will not be remembered if he's moved, because as children come up, they would not have any reason to remember or know of him, because he would not be there. There would be no question asked about who is that and what does he mean and why is he there. And I think that shameless instances of history that represent the colonial and the control system must be removed, because we don't realize the impact that it has. However, I would want to say very quickly alongside of that there is no way that we will be solving any problems by removing him alone. We have got to work on ourselves first. And that involves our self-image.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can do anything for you where that is concerned. We have to work on ourselves. If we look in the mirror and we are not happy with what we are seeing, there's no way we are going to look at our brother and be happy. So there is a serious need for working on our self-image. And this thing, in my opinion, starts early. Parents with children and teachers with children, and so that this cycle is changed. How we will get that happen becomes a matter of dialogue and You know, it's clearly going to take time, but we must start the dialogue.
Well, let me ask you this question, because you've raised one of the issues that I always have a bit of a, let's call it, confusion with.
Yeah.
We all say it has to start with the children, right?
Yeah.
I disagree for this reason. If I'm a parent with a poor self-image.
No, right.
I can't change. I can't help the child. Yeah,
that's right.
And to me, if a child comes home with knowledge gained from being at school, learning about the world around them, mm-hmm. and the parents' reaction is, "Where you get this foolishness from?"
That's right. And
try to reverse that thinking. We tell our children, "Don't argue with your parents."
Yeah.
So the child is not going to stand there and go toe-to-toe with the parent because they're told,
that's not
what you do. Right. You know, I mean, today you may not be flogged as I would have been if I had done that or slapped across my mouth and told to know my place. Although I didn't have that kind of mother, I must be honest and say I didn't. She flogged me for other things, but not for...
Speaking.
Not for expressing my views about things like that.
Right.
If I express my views about other things, I may get slapped down. But again, I go back to the fact that in the 1970s, I keep going back to the 1970s because I was a child of the 70s, we started that reversal, that self-awareness, that reaching out to the African diaspora and learning about Black history and Black identity. It started, and the countervailing movement to... increase the image, the letting your natural hair grow. We call it an afro, but you know, letting your natural hair grow.
Yeah.
Wearing clothes that were more conducive to our climate. What reversed that? Why are we back in 2020 still saying let's find an identity, let's align ourselves to a movement? What happened to that movement?
That's the reality there, Dennis, and that is what is so subtle.
Because those are the people we should be teaching today, shouldn't
that's
we?
Right. That's right. But what has happened is that there is a beating down. There is a beating down subtly of your own image. And if we don't realize the form that they take, then we accept it. And we become weak and not even realize that we lost the ground that we even thought we had.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first area where that happens is through your own economic strength. We came to this area through economics, meaning the Caribbean and the
right.
Americas.
Mm-hmm.
And we better understand that if we don't build our economics, we are going to remain in bondage to the powers of the economics because nothing else really matters. If you do not have any money, if you are disregarded and disrespected, it's a thought what you like when you get in a forum, as the people call it, come to the table.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have any say, you become weak. And if when you realize this, after shouting out about removing and marching and everything, you begin to beat back on yourself, and your own image becomes poor to you. So we've got to share these things with one another, because the thing is so entrenched, it's even entrenched through church. The images that we look up at when we go to church. And sir, I can tell you, if you watch how we have been colonialized and trained, white people train us into thinking that they are the suppliers of God-given needs. So you, if you work for a white man, he tells you that he's thinking of you. If you say to him that your children are hungry, he will give you food, but he won't give you a raise. He will, if your roof is leaking, he will patch the roof, but he wouldn't give you a raise. He would not tell you how to save money. He will not teach you those processes. He will not empower you. So we are praying because we've been taught to subscribe to this presentation. And when it comes, then when he helps us, we think, hey, well, look, he was good to me. So our whole system here of this giving down and giving
is part of a system that is really bent on keeping people right where they are. And until we realize this, we are going to keep falling for the trap and remain weak. So that the development that we think we should have, we don't have. But it is time that we start working at the dialogue, because if we don't communicate, there's no way that the change will occur, because people will not even realize that their habit, even the white man, will not realize that his habit of doing this giving is actually perpetrating the same old game down through slavery.
But, sir, you know, I am sitting here with a mixed expression, let me call it that, because you're echoing some of the things that I've said, believe it or not, about our political system. I have often maintained that in the Caribbean, we have what I call the Papa God mentality. And when I say that, people usually tell me, you know, I'm striking against the Almighty. I say, no, I'm not. If you look at the history of some of the political leaders that we've idolized, Burnham was called by one name. There's Papa Doc in Haiti, there was Uncle Gary in Grenada, there was Mama Eugenia in Dominica. We've always taken this benevolent, somebody will look after me, approach to our development, as opposed to we are the guardians of our heritage and you know, the defenders of our faith and territory.
Yes.
And I find it interesting that you also say that we have the economic thing put on, because here is where I think the educating or the re-educating needs to start. We need to first of all understand our economic value, and I think what happens too often is that we place a price on ourselves as opposed to a price on the job. So in other words, you tell a man, I understand that your job is worth $50 to you, but my value is not $50. I will accept your $50 for your job, but that's not my value. Unfortunately, most of our people take that $50 to represent their value.
Yes.
And to me, that's when we begin to see the breakdown in our psyche and our belief in who and what we are.
But Dennis, look, it starts, you see that point you made? That is a critical point. But that starts in the seat of our education system,
correct.
Which I must say, must be broken at this 11 plus level. That is the point at which this thing must be broken, but it is not just that.
Parents ain't going to let you do it, sir. Nelson will come down the day we break 11 plus. I'm sorry.
Well, no,
they're intrinsically tight.
But
I mean, listen, honestly, I hear the same passion coming out of both. That's why I made that comment.
Right. Now, let's go at it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look at your child, which you did, as being the best that God has made him to be, it means that he has a gift. So everybody don't have the same gift. Now, when you start there and you understand that, there is no such thing as a stupid child.
Correct.
So therefore, you value your child. And when we understand that human resource is the greatest asset that a country, a company, anything has, the human resource, not the capital, because if two stupid people have money left for them and they can't get it sorted out, they're going to lose it. But if a man who has nothing has some wisdom, he will soon acquire the money. So if I'm saying, by saying that, I'm saying that we need to appreciate that everybody has something good. So this $50 that you may be paid may not be the value.
Mm-hmm.
But if you yourself appreciate this goodness because your parents imparted to you that you are special, you will soon find a way to earn more. Because what happens is that you will then say, I can do this thing and offer it as a service rather than just a job.
A job, correct.
Right? Mm-hmm. And you will move yourself up. But if we continue with the subservient mentality, which comes out of a system of education that prepares you for a job rather than prepares you along the lines of your gift or your core competency, then you are not going to excel and have the confidence and the self-confidence that will make you emerge into the area that we are talking about.
So I hear, I hear you, and there's a nice echo to it that makes me realize I could rest my voice for a while, because I have said on so many occasions that when I hear people say, train them for the world of work, I cringe. Because nobody should be telling me that our education system should train you for the world of work.
No.
What will the world of work be like in 2055?
Exactly.
2045? 2035? If we trained our children in 2000 for the world of work in 2020, and COVID hit us as it did, what would those children who were trained for the world of work as it was in 1999 or 2000 would have done?
Exactly.
They would be, you know, like, let's say, fish out of water. To me, we say things, and so it may make some of us feel uncomfortable when we have the kind of conversation you're having, or it may make us feel adrift from our moorings when we try to cut some of the ties that bind. The truth is, however, if we keep tied to the rock, we will never explore the vast horizons. And we can't tell our children to explore those horizons, rise to their full potential, if we keep trying to put curbs on what that potential is. So don't tell them, get a job with Mr. X or Mr. Y, or you must be an accountant, or you must do law or else, or you need to do this. I mean, why do you want to do so and so and so? Makes no sense to do that. Look, you talk about nobody being, you know, no child being, you know, a dummy. And too often I hear people telling them, their children, that you will never amount to anything. You can't build self-esteem by telling people what they can't be. And so I want to thank you for your contribution. It's certainly it's a good breath of air for me. I thank you.